Yep, I found the thing with all music just in case, so. Oh. Yeah, I brought that up. I'll shrink it later.
The first show starts at what, 7?
Technically, but I mean, I'm here right now, so.
Is your show at 7?
Yeah. Essentially, basically, I'm paying kind of a. There's a. I actually had a. I mean, I had typo on there, so I have to do it. It's not the Black Hat thing, it's that there's this awesome group called the Crypto Show. They're out in Austin, Texas.
Uh-huh.
They're the only show on FM that talks about cryptocurrencies.
Mm-hmm.
And they were originally going to want to either come here to do a live segment, but just the timing didn't work out.
Sure.
So they asked if, like, because everything kind of fell apart at the end, if they could pick, like, their greatest hits of stuff that they've done. And they wrote me, like, a little script to talk about themselves. So I'm just be kind of playing, like, bits of that. That's
makes
all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's kind of it, and then we'll, like, you know, go back to music and stuff. But so, Slave, how's your Friday so far at Circle of Hope?
The Friday quickly turned into a Saturday morning.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, it's like magic.
Right? I think I got some sleep in there.
Yeah, did your hat get some sleep?
No, the hat never sleeps. It just waits.
Still strikes.
There were some great talks yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
They did the... I'm so tired.
They're so good that you couldn't remember anything. I've had those.
The social engineering. Am I saying this
wrong? That was. I was shocked that they usually have those. Every time I've been here, they usually have them like Saturday afternoon. So I have
Saturday night.
Yeah.
They wanted to do it during the week to try to see, you know, if they could get a hold of people easier.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that worked out well.
Yeah, I'm curious about that.
I caught the first, like, 45 minutes, you know, when they talk about, like, stories and stuff. I didn't hear the last bit about the, like, where they were actually phone calling people.
Yeah.
I had an interview here that I had to get ready for.
Yeah. Well, especially for people like us who are working at the different sectors of Hope is the fact that pretty much everything is being, like, live-streamed and archived.
That's been a
big godsend for us. I've either been in the radio or sit on a panel while loading another panel that's on a conflicting schedule. It just frees you up for so much to experience more of a con.
Yeah, you don't really get to see a lot of the panels when you're running around.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then I emceed a couple of the talks last night. I was just like filling in holes.
We have the big projector thing down by the escalator. And I just look over like, oh, stop it.
I don't think I messed up too
He's
bad.
He's 20 feet tall.
Yeah. So so some people got their names said. I don't think I butchered it that bad, but I was busy yesterday.
Okay.
There was one talk, the crypto talk. It was like new cryptography.
Oh, yes, yes.
And, you know, like I understand the basis of cryptography, but they went into zero knowledge, like cryptographic trusts or something like that. Basically like a way to have truly anonymous transactions, like, you know, bitcoins, but no way to trace anything. And it was just like so far over my head. That I had, like, I knew some of the words they were saying, but that was about it.
You know, it's actually kind of impressive because, you know, a lot of cons have stereotypes, good and bad. And a thing that I used to often hear about Hope is that it's like, you know, there's a lot of stuff in community and there's like one or two good tech talks, but there's like nothing really like super advanced out there. Half of this has been
this
super
one,
advanced.
The people who were putting on the talk were like, hey, like we were going to talk about this.
Yeah.
But then I realized that there was someone here that knew way more than I did. So we're just going to take an intermission and he's going to talk about it, which is really cool. So, like, in the middle of the talk, like, this one, like, you know, a guy gets up with a British accent and just starts, like, talking about that, the zero knowledge.
Oh, geez.
Cryptography trust. And he sounded like he knew what he was talking about, but.
Let's hope that doesn't happen at our panel.
He should. Oh, yeah, right. Radio Statler can't really talk about Radio Statler, but we found someone who can.
Yes.
And then he just says in a British accent, and you're like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, he played bad guys in Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
I believe him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of that, just as a reminder for anyone who is stuck up this early, we are actually having a Radio Statler panel today.
It's late?
Yes, it's going to be 9 p.m. in, and I'm going to butcher this, but 9 p.m. at Vaughan.
Okay, the, so that'll be
the big room.
The big room.
Again.
We're going to pack it.
Yes.
With our Statler stories.
Everyone there, and then the rest is cardboard cutouts.
What are the first three talks this morning?
First three talks this morning, it's the wrong day. Okay. So, come on, scrolling. Can we do this? There we go. So, in Vaughan, we're having updates on iStar organizations from the bullshit police. See, I speak the language of bullshit. I didn't know there was a policing force for it. So I potentially...
I always thought it was self-policed, really.
Yeah. Huh. One of the... Particularly all the IoT talks this year have, like, amazing titles. In Booth, which is the other medium-sized room on the 18th floor... is, help, my toaster's attacking me, and other 911 calls of the future, an update on the legal policy and landscape for the Internet of Things.
Oh, that doesn't, yeah, that could be interesting. That doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
Do you remember, it was a few years back, but Google left China because they...
Yeah.
They were
that break
hacked.
Up. Yeah, that breakup, it was that, and there was apparently, I think, a disagreement between, like, core corporate Google and the Google division of China.
Yeah,
having to deal with it.
The way they hacked into Google's network was through a internet connected thermostat in an apartment.
Yes,
I thought that was, like, so cool.
Yeah, that they just borked a thermostat. Which
I heard that for like that Helsinki meetup between our president and
Kim Jong-un.
No, the Russian, I guess he's the president, right? Prime Minister? President. Anyway,
yep.
Between Trump and Putin.
Oh, yeah, President Vladimir Putin.
They said they saw, like, the city saw, like, a 1,600% increase in, like, people just script keying, Internet of Thing IP address ranges.
Can't get rid of the Russian hackers.
Trying to see what they could get into.
And speaking of that, those are two people that I've contacted that right after that
Trump
talk.
And Putin?
Hope 2020. No. Oh. maybe one might make it. he's from Russia. I actually realized doing that joke, I'd have to clarify which one. Never mind. So... The awesome
planet.
People doing the legal policy about IoT and Booth, I'm supposed to lead them down at 11 to talk on air.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so they'll be here afterwards on Radio Statler to get to expand some more concepts and get to grill their brain. And then, which is actually the talk that I'm super excited for, that I feel like is not getting enough love, is in Richie, which is, again...
The basement.
Lower
venue.
Level.
Yeah.
Shockingly, that room is the aesthetic alone. The way they've done the lighting system down
there. Oh, yeah, the lighting
is
very nice, yeah.
Yeah. It's like this weird blue. You feel like you're in, like an 80s remake of Hope.
Oh, totally, yeah. When I was watching, like, the chiptunes, someone was playing a song that had, like, this 80s vibe to it.
Yeah.
I was digging it, yeah.
Real quick, aside before I read the panel, my exact summary of the chiptune thing was cool, but my exact feeling on it was I was looking at it from the outside in the hallway to the door. And all I could think about was, why do I feel like I'm going to enter there as me and leave wearing a fursuit?
Oh, there's only...
It's that vibe.
There's only two people that go to Hope, those who go to the chiptune concert and those who don't.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, but it was a great lineup. It was a great lineup of performance. It's not even just the music, it's like actual performance art.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But so I'm getting him as a... So in Richie is inspiring the next generation of hackers... And just because you might get confused with the title, it involves two awesome child hackers. Not people who hack children. The hackers who happen to be in the under 18 range.
Okay.
And one of them is...
Thank you for the clarification.
Yes, because, you know, Radio Statler loves its fan fiction. Sometimes a little bit too much. I read IRC. I'm about to check there in a moment. But one of the two speakers is named Bia, or Bia Scilab is her full handle. She is an insanely smart young girl that we are all afraid that she's going to grow up to take over the frickin' world. And she actually is a DEFCON 201 member, and she's our youngest member at 11.
Oh.
And she's done talks at DEF CON. She's won competitions against adults at DEF CON. She is a force to be reckoned with.
What's DEF CON 201?
Okay, I'll get into that a little bit while I'm here. I just want to mention, though, that Bia, her, I believe Dent, and a couple of other hackers who happen to be children are scheduled to be on here for 12:30 for half an hour.
Cool.
So I get to also pick their brain. So we have two of the first two talks.
Probably
we're on the radio.
Hide the alcohol.
Yeah, no, well, we're getting there. It's actually kind of funny, real quick, because we, like, you know, I guess we did a really good job getting new walls and kind of reversing walls and cleaning them up.
Oh, yeah,
and
the hilarious
part. Yeah, and the hilarious part is that Bia would not care. Others would care. She would absolutely not give a shit. So DEF CON 201. So we, New Jersey has tried to start a DEF CON group, and for us, that DEF CON group is Crowbar Separation here, but they're similar to, you know, there's 2,600 meetings across the United States and the world.
Sure, yeah.
DEF CON groups is a similar thing, and not all the meetings are like similarly. Like some meetings, 2,600 meetings in the Midwest are really structured, some are not. Same thing with DEF CON groups.
Uh-huh.
It's just different branding.
Yeah.
And in fact, some areas are both. Like in Georgia, the people who run the DEF CON group in the middle of the month are the same people that do the 2,600 meeting on the first Friday of the month.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a whole thing. But New Jersey's been trying to start one and keep it going for years, and they never got past the four-month point on any of them. And we moved to my roommate and I, G.I. Jack, who's here for a bit. He's definitely going to be here Saturday night. You can't miss him. He's a character in of itself. We moved to Jersey City, and we were like, wow, this is a hacker as fuck city.
You hipster.
Yeah, no, it's actually like we were shocked.
Mm-hmm.
Of the amount of, like, there are, we've shopped at stores that are now our good friends where they have, because we looked, they have no cameras, you can pay in cash and don't have to show any ID, and you can get individual PCP board parts, entire laptops and stuff with, like, no traceability.
Really?
We have Bitcoin and cryptocurrency ATM machines,
yeah,
everywhere.
There was a while back where I was looking, and the only place I found them was Jersey City, which,
yeah,
I thought was super weird.
Yeah, no, they're everywhere. And shockingly enough, because we've reached this stage with DEF CON 201, the community board and city council, including Mayor Phillip of Jersey City, are really, like, their tech division really knows their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they are really, like, gung-ho savvy about implementing technology, and their key is that they want to implement it in a smart ways that will actually benefit the residents of the city.
Sure.
As opposed to, like, I'll give an example, and kind of got the Lord just over them. In Newark, they're going to mimic the Link NYC system we have here. It's the same company.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to come in, and this box of ads with three cameras, and people are going to start playing old McDonald's off of them at 2 a.m. in the morning, as they do, and it's going to be a mess, and there'll be man-in-the-middle attacks and all the stuff you've read about them. But in Jersey City, we're right now in the, it's not finalized, but we're in a process of starting out by making a mesh network similar to the NYC mesh, starting with major community centers and important infrastructure such as fire department, police departments, shelters, and just
libraries,
yep, and interconnecting them all together on a decentralized network, particularly because that way, for example, if a major incident happened like Hurricane Sandy again, New Jersey was actually not too bad with power. But that hurricane knocked out all communication in the entire state, which is why it looked like it was, like, on fire all the time,
yeah,
in the news. Because none of the counties could communicate with each
other.
Cell
phone towers went down.
Yes. And it was a
internet
mess.
And cable were gone
so
for a while.
So we're starting off with that. If that works for about a year, they're actually very interested in moving to doing municipal fiber for the city, because we're actually, like, a literal gold mine of dark fiber.
Uh-huh.
in the city to give more options. And to jump ahead a bit, one of the really cool things we got to do with DEF CON 201 was there's an initiative in New Jersey called the NJ Makers Day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in March. It's always a Friday and Saturday in March. It's random when each year when which Friday in March it is. And It allows libraries, schools, and other facilities to, for 2 days, to just celebrate STEM and STEM learning, mathematics, robotics, programming, physics, statewide. And it's an initiative by the CORE New Jersey government from Trenton. Mm-hmm. And it's actually pushed by and promoted by Cory Booker, believe it or not, and Senator Cory Booker. And we somehow convinced the Liberty Science Center to host ours.
Cool.
And Liberty Science Center is a giant facility that's like part museum of science, part playground.
Oh, yeah, I've been there.
And
it's awesome.
They
yeah.
actually have research labs
as
there.
A child or as an adult.
Yeah.
There's lots to do.
They, for example, they have, if I remember correctly, like over our 100 professional grade 3D printers.
Really?
Yeah. And things like that. And you can actually do science research there. You can do space research at the facilities. They, every third Thursday of every month, they host something called Liberty Science Center After Dark, which is and essentially they close down the center and they have an adult party where everyone can drink and it's always themed after something. The 80s party was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
We actually were, they had to have people like taking apart VCRs and putting them back together, like the people attending.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and stuff like that. So they host their RNG Makers Day. And it's been surpassed now, but we actually broke an attendance record for them. They had an estimate. We did not have any expectations. We managed to get 3,743 people to show up.
Holy poop.
In one day, yeah.
That's a lot of people.
Like, that's like...
For the maker event.
That's like hope, like 3-4 cons ago in terms of size. It was insane. We had similar people here, too. We had one group here. We had March there. We had the Vintage Computer Festival people there.
Mm-hmm.
And they were showing off. That's where they debuted, which I think is actually a talk here of hacking Lego robotics.
Oh,
using,
yeah, I saw that. The
I think that's
Mindstorm?
Mindstorm. Ignore that. Yes, the Mindstorm robotics. And, oh, God, that's my phone.
I wanted those so bad when I was little.
I had the, my parents bought me the very first one that came out. The first thing I built, it was a thing that had an IR sensor on it, and it could follow black line. But because of how rudimentary the programming was, it was really noisy because it would go forward left, sense it's out of bounds, and go right. So it just, and just thrash around as it inched across this line. And
yeah, my parents didn't love me enough for cool Legos like that. In between the electrical cord beatings, though, my town would have this garbage day where, like...
Oh, an actual dumpster diving day?
A dumpster diving day.
Holy crap.
They don't do it anymore because I guess they got tired of people dumpster diving, but for a week, everyone would put out all their garbage, like big bulk items.
Mm.
And I would walk around with my wagon and
I'm
pick
going
up...
going and say I'm going to stop my phone, but keep going.
I'd walk around with my wagon and I would pick up like old computers and TVs and like speakers and things. And if you went to my bedroom, you saw like gutted TVs with the speakers rewired. And I had built a 46 computer with like a 9600 baud modem.
Yeah.
I mean, this is when other people were using like, you know, like 133 megahertz
computers,
but like I had a computer that was mine that I built from like parts I found on the road.
So I kind of had the reverse story of you. Our first computer was a, if I remember correctly, it was a PS/1. It's a work terminal machine. Like it's one of those, they retired a machine at my dad's workplace when I was like 5 or 6 years old. And it was one of those like smoky gray boxes that ran BASIC as its operating system, and it had actual key turning system built into its on button, so basically every part
did
of
it
that
have
computer
a green screen?
It had an orange screen.
Orange screen,
yes.
Wow.
And so basically everything about it, like we have this machine. What is it? We don't know. So the first thing we had to do was figure out how to turn it on. And even we didn't pick the lock, but essentially we figured out how to do the tumbler so it turned on. And then we're like, what's this garbage? And slowly had to learn how this thing while just fumbling around with the keyboard. And that's like my introduction to machines. And then we got like, unfortunately, a Windows 95 machine. It's been all downhill from there. But
I remember eventually my parents bought like a like, you know, like a real computer. And not a real computer, but they bought like a newer one. and like for $2,000. And you know, this was in the 90s.
Yeah.
And my mom came home from work, and I had the entire thing apart on like the back table. And she like grabbed her chest. She's like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "I'm upgrading."
My when we upgraded to the Windows 95 machine, the big thing about it wasn't even that, oh, it was a visual GUI. It's that it was so top of line. It came with a CD player.
Ooh.
And a CD tray. And so like our neighbors would come over, and we would have like we would be playing music off of it, and like videos off of like one of the five CDs that were there on the market.
Yeah, we
that.
Had some like encyclopedia that came on a CD.
Yeah.
And we'd, like watch like.
And I had like one of those like elephants. Math games pre-installed or something. Like not math, nothing fun like Math Munchers. No. It was like a point and click sort of like trying to be Super Nintendo but failing miserably sort of game.
Those were the good old days.
Yeah.
Now computers are just so awesome with their graphics and their sound.
And you know, and all the microtransactions and
gambling
but not gambling.
Stupid loot crates.
Yes. Actually, if we're talking about kind of like our I'd like to share a story with you. It's actually a pretty wholesome story about I've titled it "The Moment Apparently My Mom Figured Out I Was a Air Quote Hacker."
Okay.
Because she had to. So a little bit of background. Do not say my condolences because I hate that. My mom passed away 3 years ago. Okay. So this was about 6 years ago.
You don't want me to say condolences.
No, because every time people, like, I say that and people react like she just died right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah, I guess that is
like,
a little weird.
Yeah. And it's kind of weird because it's like my condolences, but I'm like, but you didn't do anything, did you?
You never met her. Yeah, yeah, that's a good point.
So, but no, she had a great
life. I'm sure she was a lovely woman.
She came to Hope X.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
And got into lockpicking and then forced me to get me into lockpicking. She was insane. Like, when I had her at Hope X, people were walking up to me and being like, yeah, now I know why you're so fucked up. Like, I get it now. This makes sense. I have no questions anymore. So she had to explain to me 6 years ago. Like, she was just, like, looking back on, like, because she's like, wow, it's like you're almost going to be, like, 30 in, like, a couple years. And it's just, like, oh, did I ever tell you when I realized you were, like, the stuff you're into, I realized that that's what that was going to be. And I almost forgot that this happened to me. And I was like, oh, yeah, shit. So here's the story. It's real simple, but it's hilarious. I was 4 going on 5 because it was my birthday.
Yeah.
And as you do, because it was the early 90s, you had a birthday. Maybe not every kid had this, but a lot of kids, if you had a birthday, you were at Chuck E. Cheese.
Okay.
And for those of you out there who don't know, Chuck E. Cheese is like a sort of kid's pizza arcade emporium that there were a lot more awesome.
Like a Dave and Buster's, but only kids.
And more sad, yeah.
Yeah.
Less alcohol, allegedly, but more sad. For some reason, and there were a lot more awesome back then than they were now, because now they literally have like a video screen, and like that's your entertainment, and like all the arcades are more kind of like the gamble machines. Like Chuck E. Cheese used to have like arcade machines,
yeah.
Like Teenage Mutant Turtles,
sure.
Four players,
Simpsons.
And yeah, stuff like that, and still kind of bootleg pizza. And the main thing is that they had the animatronic show, so
yeah,
they had all the characters. Chucky, which is a giant rat character, and there's like a chicken and stuff. And they were like, if you've ever been to Disney World, it's like one of those animatronic bands.
Yeah.
So that was the entertainment. That's what wowed us in the 90s. We didn't have like holograms and VR. And well, we had VR, but it super sucked.
Yeah.
And
it sucked bad.
So,
like Lawnmower Man sucked.
Yeah. Like Lawnmower was like the ideal, like, wow, like that could be the future compared
to now. This
is going
to be the future.
Yeah.
And then you're like,
look
wow.
How good it looks.
Yeah.
You know, all 5 pixels. So, so much math. No, So we were there, and I'm a huge gamer, so I did not care for the animatronic show. I'm counting tokens, waiting for the animatronic show to stop. I'm like making little piles of like, this game costs this much, and I'm going to do it. And that's what I was doing. Like, I was usually eating pizza and organizing my tokens. All the kids were so excited, and the show's going. And about a third in the way of the show, the Chucky's right half just stopped working while the left half kept just
like
going.
Suffered a stroke.
Yeah, suffered a stroke. Just went, no, what's that? And the chicken just stopped moving at all. So they kill the animatronics, and the repair guy runs out. Now, I found out later that apparently in that situation, there is a red curtain that they're supposed to grab and throw behind them before they do repairs. He was so eager to fix these things, he forgot to do that.
So he's like so tearing he just goes them up, open.
And he has. I remember the first thing that happened, he jammed a screwdriver into the jaw of Chucky, the rat, and removed his jaw. And he's ripping the faces off the animatronics. It's just like Terminator machinery with red eyes. And all the kids just freaked the fuck out.
Screaming.
Just crying. There was one kid running in circles. Two ran out the building. All the parents are just screaming. And then the manager came down. He still doesn't have the curtain. He's like doing this. And he's crying. And my mom, this happened so fast. She didn't like had time to react. She's just like, wow, this happened. And she's like, I hope my son looks down. Just tokens. I'm not there. She looks back up. I'm standing there next to the repair guy, wide eye, like smiling, and I'm handing him tools, pointing at the different parts of the robotics, naming them, and asking him questions about how it works.
Uh-huh.
Like they're like, yeah, I think it's this Allen wrench. Yeah, no, and this is why this fits here on this socket, so this servo can move up. And my mom, like, that she said, looked at the kids crying, screaming, parents yelling, looked at me, happy, to look back forth, and her exact, she, oh, I have one of those. So as she said, because I didn't realize this, she says, you ever notice that, like, when pretty much, because I mostly had good grades, but it's like, when you had good grades and everything, like, you would just ask us absurd things that you want with electronics, if we could afford it, we never questioned it. Like, I'm like, Mom, I need a computer with, like, 500, like, yeah, I need a computer with 500 megs of RAM. Sure, we're not questioning, we have one of those. You do what you want, just don't be a serial killer. And that's apparently how they found out that I liked stuff like this.
Uh-huh.
I didn't even realize that, that age, and my mom can recognize that age, that's that interest, that's that, like, that spark, you know?
Oh, yeah, I feel like my parents always, like, I remember, like, whenever we'd have phones that were broken, they would let me, like, take them apart, and then, like, I mean, I could never put them back together, but I was taking broken phones apart and playing with the magnets, and...
So this is why people are surprised, and they're never surprised that I'm a phone loser. I remember when I was a preteen, and I ended up on the World Wide Web for... like the first couple of times, and I found the phone losers. That it was like, oh wow, they have an actual website, one of the few websites I could visit. And I looked up and I was like, oh, it's called War Driving. Like I little kid, just phone, parents are away.
Oh,
call numbers, find gaps in the phone book, call those theoretical numbers constantly.
I ran up like a $300 phone bill calling long distance BBSs because I didn't know what long distance was.
Right,
I was probably like 8 or 9.
Oh my god, what was the first time you were? I'm sticking the time here. Oop, so we're almost there. But what was your memory of the first time being on the World Wide Web, like as like a thing instead of like a text terminal?
So not text.
Right.
I remember. I feel like I remember going to the library and going on, like, Gopher or something. Not, like AOL internet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was... I guess it was closer. Remember when Yahoo first came out and it was just directories?
Yeah.
Like,
this giant list. Yeah. Click on things.
My
like
first
Craigslist.
Memory
yeah.
is going through, like, a directory and finding, like, Magic the Gathering information or something like that. I fit at the library. I think that's like my first memory of using like what I thought was the internet. And it could have been Gopher at the time.
Yeah.
I don't really remember. But like...
Yeah, there wasn't really like search engines.
No.
In like the first couple
years.
There's
just directories. The thing was,
list of links.
I lived in like way northern New Jersey. So like we didn't get a internet that was...
So you're at the peak tip. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I was towards the peak. So we didn't get the internet that... you could get for, like, there were no local phone numbers to get AOL or anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I was using, like, New Jersey BBSs or local BBSs, and then BBSs with Telnet until, like, way late in the game. Like,
so,
when everyone, not when everyone, but when a fair amount of people actually had AOL, I was still just
dialing in.
War dialing BBSs in my hometown.
So,
which there were several of. Like, one of the bigger ones on the East Coast, there was a 5-node in my hometown. A 5-node Wildcat BBS called Ice Rage.
Yeah, there's a 5 thing in the north. Is everyone would talk about it? Because I'm like northeast.
Yeah. The guy who ran it, like, worked out a special deal with Seth Abel, the guy who wrote Lord, and he had like the special tournament edition of Lord, and yeah, we'd play Trade Wars, but yeah, it was like a it was a 5-person BBS, which like who in the right mind would pay for 5 phone lines in like this must have been like 94.
Yeah, the rightest of minds.
Yeah, believe it or not, last I followed up, that kid works for like Comcast or whatever.
Yeah, like it's kind of funny. Like
doing network administration.
Later,
like he actually dropped out of like the BBS was so successful that he dropped out of high school.
Wow.
To run the BBS.
Holy crap.
Because it was pulling in a lot of people would pay 15, like 100 people would pay $15 a month.
You know, it's kind of funny because everyone kind of thinks it's like a new phenomenon. You've just seen that phenomenon where like someone starts like just uploading like cool videos on YouTube and they end up being so successful that they just quit their day job and just do a YouTube channel and everyone thinks that's a new thing. But
no,
like, here it is.
There are people in the 90s. Yeah.
Yeah. Doing content.
Quit high school to run a BBS.
Yep. Or zines. Yeah. Mine's really simple. It was actually roughly a month after we got that newfangled machine with the CD tray. So it had a CD tray, but more importantly, it also had a floppy disk, like modern hard disk.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden the mail, because I lived in Kearney at the time, we got the hard disk for what was called Prodigy Internet.
Oh, Prodigy,
which
yeah.
Which is the New York, like East New Jersey internet connection. And they had the weirdest, trippiest commercials, like these, like there was this like 3 guys in suit dancing, talking about like the amazing like 6 baud speeds you can get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, I remember Prodigy.
And the craziest thing later, because this is like my problem with my life, I feel, is that by the time I kick it, if I write an autobiography, no one's gonna fucking believe it. Like it's just like I sometimes just think back and I'm like, wow, it's just wow. Someone needs to get royalties for writing my life. Years later, I have a trans friend who works in the adult entertainment industry that was celebrating her birthday. This was this huge rooftop party with a pool and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And she's introducing me to some dudes. And one of the 3 dancing guys in the video was at that party.
Uh-huh.
And it turns out that because the company was so small, he was one of the original investors for Prodigy Internet. Like they started their own commercials.
So weird.
And he's like, do you remember like what you signed on for? Because like we often got feedback, and I remember it told me, no, I signed on as KidNet One, and he's like, oh, you're the one that sent like the, because that was the one apparently, because every day I sent in bug reports, because they would just ask like every day, and apparently people didn't do them, so there was always a KidNet 01 that sent every day, and they're like, is this an actual child? And so they're like, wow, that's you. This is freaky. It's like, so basically, like, a porn friend of mine, like, full circle years later, I got to meet one of the guys that set up that internet service.
That's cool.
So it's like, okay, that's
small
life
world.
Now. Yes.
Right?
I told him about Hope, too. I don't know if he ever showed up, but yeah, he knows.
Probably be a small celebrity here if he's like, I'm from Prodigy.
Yeah. And he says he still has, like, a couple of the floppies and some of the latest beta CDs
like
they made.
Every,
and, yeah.
Like, every week there'd be new Prodigy and AOL discs in your mail.
And there were actual regional internets, too, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, regional internets. I had, like, one, like, my local, when we first got the internet, it was through my local elementary school. They had, like, 15 phone lines that you could call in. And,
yeah.
Like, and then they got bought out by another company who got bought out by another company. I don't even know who. And then eventually the phone.
Yeah.
In high school.
Now we have 3 services.
There was
a
friend of mine that made a lot of money. He would pirate, like when CD burners were like $500 each, he'd burn people's CDs for like $5 each and make a killing.
Oh, yeah.
And he bought a cable modem in like the early 90s. And like I'm in way northern New Jersey, so like getting a, like he was paying like $200 or $300 a month for internet.
Damn.
But the cable was only down, not up. Because just how crappy everything was up there.
Yeah.
So he would get like 200K down, but 56K up.
Wow.
Because you'd have to dial in with the phone and then pull down with the cable.
Yeah. Holy crap.
He had a 2-node BBS, that friend of mine.
Neat.
But yeah, he like, and then he figured out there's a way to like pirate Dreamcast games where you
yes
you didn't need a mod chip, you just rip them through the Dreamcast and then burn them.
So real quick, so Nauticon 7, Nauticon was a con in Cleveland, Ohio. Unfortunately, it doesn't exist anymore. Rest in peace, Froggy. He didn't die. I'm just saying for the con, it was real quick because it was like it was a hacker con, but the way I've always described Hope to people is that it's a hacker convention, but it really focuses a lot on the community, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, just like, and say, like, we had a panel about, like, being under stress doing computing. So, Nauticon was like that, but with art.
Uh-huh.
And just like music, audio, video programming, like, just coming up with cool creations, expressing yourself. I did a panel there about homebrew versus piracy in video games, which I recently had friends, including my roommate, said I should redo that now because so much has changed. And they would love to see it because people thought it was a good panel. And one of the things I brought up, because I was going through like the history of like the homebrew scene and the pirate scene over the years, was that you had the Dreamcast. And the optical disc reader was a semi-proprietary thing they came up with. It was GD-ROM. Which it only stored 1 gig, unlike DVDs that usually stored 2 or 4 gigs. So it could hold a gig, but it wasn't a DVD, and Sega was the monopoly manufacturer of those, so they thought it would reduce piracy. One of the main problems, though, with the Dreamcast was in order to make game development easier, it has a versions of Windows CE built into it.
Yeah, it had and a serial port out the back.
Yeah, so they reversed that, and essentially it's like, why try to attempt to steal a GD-ROM burner when you can just use the Dreamcast as the GD-ROM player and burner? So
My friend used to, he'd rip the games through the serial port in the back and then burn them at like 1X or 2X.
Yeah, like two to four CDs, yeah.
And then, eventually got to the point where, like, in the town I grew up in, no one bought Dreamcast games anymore.
Reams
of CDs made by him of just like every game that was out.
Oh man.
Yeah, like Dreamcast was a great system. It died because piracy was so easy.
It's like that and the weird way PlayStation 2 was such a juggernaut. Like, it sounded like Jesus Christ was coming back. Like,
right?
That's how they made it in the news and press and promotion and everything. Yeah,
and I thought Dreamcast was a good dude. Dreamcast had a modem,
awesome,
and you could like
had everything. I had Jet Set Radio, I had Power Stone,
it had
Slave Zero, for Fighters,
an MMO with a keyboard and a headset.
Yes,
that you could play.
I played that Phantasy Star Online.
Yeah, Phantasy Star.
Yep.
Yeah, now the Dreamcast I thought was a great system. It just they made it too easy to pirate games.
I love, ironically enough, we bled a little bit. If you want to stop by and talk about that, it's fine. It's Sunday. It's one of the last programs we're doing at 4 p.m., not 4 p.m., for 5 p.m., for 1 hour, I'm doing a segment called Where Are the Video Games?
Uh-huh.
It's going to have a couple of my friends who are all, like, into gaming, and especially, like, modifying gaming. We're just talking about, like, cool games we like, cool mods we do, and we're actually going to play a little bit of Jackbox Party at the end of it.
What's a Jackbox Party?
So we're actually going to get the IRC involved in this. So Jackbox Party is it's made from the people who... You remember a game series called You Don't Know Jack?
Yeah.
On PC? So they're the same company. They, like, reformed again recently. And is a collection, essentially, of these type of, flash is a terrible word, but, like, kind of, like, browser-type games. Like, they have a thing called Quiblash, which is kind of like their version of Cards Against Humanity.
Okay.
And what you can do is it's all network and browser-based, so while you use your system or PC to play the main screen, everyone's playing on their smartphone, their PC, or their tablet.
So
you go to the same website and you put the passcode for that game, and everyone's playing on there.
Interesting.
So we're some here, and then if each game is like usually 6 to 8 people, so we're gonna put as many here, and then anyone in the IRC
online
can enter
that
code.
Oh, that's clever.
And we're just gonna do that for like 1 or 2 rounds.
Yeah.
I think we're gonna actually play Quiblash, and then there's a game because I only have the third one, unfortunately. It's a great game. It's just there's 4 of them now. And the fifth one coming out is a game where it's like kind of like it's like a fake stock market where they take actual like statistical polling data and you have to predict like is it going to do higher or lower than what what people thought it is versus the actual data statistics. Mm-hmm. And it's like always like really crazy stuff. Like
what's that game called?
How many people? Good question. Unfortunately, let me actually see if I can bring that up real quick. I'm typing on the wrong thing.
I'm going to step out for a moment.
That's fine.
I'll be right back.
Actually, we should probably transition into what we're going to start at 7:07:06.
So. What is at 7?
So what we're going to do at 7 is, once again, I'm going to talk about the crypto show, and I'm going to play bits of it. And for some reason, if we need to fill more stuff in, because I asked the dude, he's going to be interviewed later, the guy who does the New Beat podcast, can probably also hold over until we get the awesome people at Radio Wonderland to perform live.
Okay, cool. Oh, yeah. I forgot he's coming on there.
So
okay.
We're going to be working on that.
Enjoy it. Yep. I'll be around.
Awesome. You go do you.